I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. In 1976, many Americans had never heard of Johannesburg, let alone South Africa's brutal apartheid system. But then this song came along, eventually to become a rallying cry for anti-apartheid efforts here in the U.S., and a hit single for poet, musician, and singer Gil Scott-Heron. Marcus Barham, you've just published a biography of the late Gil Scott-Heron. It's called Gil Scott-Heron, Pieces of a Man. How did his song, Johannesburg, go over in South Africa?
Well, the irony, Marco, is that the song actually was not played to South Africans because it was banned under the apartheid regime. It was intended more for audiences in the U.S. and Europe to raise awareness about apartheid. And then when Gil and his musical partner, Brian Jackson, performed for the first time in South Africa in the late 90s, and it was a very emotional moment. Mm. And when they played at this big stadium in front of tens of thousands of people, they got to the chorus, "What's the word?" And there was dead silence.
And usually the audience is ready right there to sing along the chorus, Johannesburg.
Right. Exactly.
They got
exactly.
Crickets.
And then they realized, oh, the song was banned. So no one knew the song, which was a shock for them, but understandable.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shock for me, too, that they didn't know about that. Has that changed at all? I mean, do they know Johannesburg by Gil Scott-Heron in South Africa today? Does it mean anything?
They do. I mean, one thing I've seen is not only that song, but also The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, which has become such a protest anthem.
Right. We'll talk about that in a second. I mean, there's a funny background to the chorus for Johannesburg that you talk about in your book. The hook was actually Gil Scott-Heron kind of riffing off the jingle for the wine marketed by Gallo to the American ghetto, this wine called Thunderbird, which some people may know about. I mean, that's really a strange twist.
Exactly. I mean, that was for actually about four decades, going back to the 30s. That was Thunderbird's big jingle, and they marketed it in the ghetto. And so everyone in big urban areas knew that jingle. What's the word? Thunderbird. What's the word? Thunderbird. And in a way, it was genius of Gil to take this powerful, you know, political song and to give it a pop feel and to attract mass audiences by kind of transforming it to a jingle that everyone knew.
Although I got to say, I remember when that happened on SNL with Richard Pryor. That was the great addition.
Yeah, I keep tapping my foot as I hear the rhythm.
Gil Scott-Heron had a prickly relationship with the American music industry, with his own label even. And part of that, as you describe in your biography, is due to his just refusal to be subjected to a system in which whites were on top. Once Gil gets out of that system, like he goes to Europe, how did he do with audiences and critics?
Like many jazz musicians, like Thelonious Monk and Miles Davis and others, he found a bigger audience in Europe, especially in the 90s and at the end of his career in the noughts, where he would perform at stadiums. He'd go to perform at Wembley. He'd perform at, you know, big stadiums in Germany and France and the Netherlands. And then when he was back in the States, in New York, he'd perform at small nightclubs or even bars. And it was a much smaller audience, which I think really affected him. Like, he really, I think, was depressed about that because he was such a, he was a proud American in many ways, even though he was so critical of injustice in this country.
Finally, Marcus, we've got to talk about the seminal song, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Let's just hear a slice of that.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
Marcus Barham, there have been so many ways to think about this slam poem, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, myriad explanations of what it means, but it has turned into a kind of mantra that has spread around the globe. How do different people in different places think about that song today?
I mean, today you see it on protest signs around the world. I mean, everywhere from Tahrir Square in Cairo to the streets of Kiev, Hong Kong, you've seen it. Everywhere in the U.S., from the Occupy movement 3 years ago to Ferguson. I remember seeing in Occupy LA, there was actually somebody, a protester, who'd painted it on his back.
Wow.
He was walking around without a shirt, and he'd painted the slogan on his back. And that got shared endless times on social media. So in a way, one of the mantras is that it's become, the revolution will not be televised, but it is being tweeted and videoed and shared in innumerable ways on the web.
Right. I mean, the second line of the song is, you will not be able to plug in, turn on, or cop out. I mean, except for that last one, copping out, revolutions are now about plugging in and turning on. Do you think Gil Scott-Heron thought of revolution in a kind of storming the Bastille kind of way? I mean, how did he think about activism and the revolutions of the future? Because the song title is set in the future.
That's a good point. I mean, interestingly, Gil always felt the song was misunderstood by people because people took it literally. The revolution will not be televised. It will not appear on TV. And what he was saying was that you have to be active. You can't be a passive participant in the revolution. When the revolution happens, you're going to have to be in the streets. You just can't sit on your couch in your living room and watch it on TV.
Marcus Barham, author of Gil Scott-Heron, Pieces of a Man. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
As we mentioned, Gil Scott-Heron's phrase, the revolution will not be televised, now shows up all around the globe. See pictures of some of the many different ways it's been used at PRI.org.